Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the book of James. James is towards the end of your Bible. In James, we're going to be looking in chapter number 5. You're looking at two specific verses, but be making mention of some other verses that are around it also. I told you last Sunday night we were going to begin a series, at least for the next 3 weeks, as the Lord leads, about prayer. And tonight's message, you're probably not going to hear anything that you have not heard before. It's more of a reminding type message. But it's something that I think is important and it's appropriate tonight. James chapter number 5, verses 17 and 18 is what we're going to look at. As we usually do during the month of September, we try to get our hearts ready for our Bible conference and also for our Friend Day to get us ready and motivated to serve the Lord. We should always be that way, but unfortunately it doesn't always happen that way. In James chapter number 5, in verses 17 and 18, we learn about a man. He's called Elias in the New Testament, but we know that they're referring to the prophet Elijah. One of the reasons why I'm excited about talking and preaching about these sermons on Sunday is because I truly want a better prayer life. That's just the reality. I'm going to be honest and truthful with you tonight, maybe even a little share some things with you, but prayer is the most powerful thing in the universe that's available to a Christian. The most powerful thing available to us as Christians. It is what moves the arm of the Almighty God. Nothing else even comes close to it. The God who says there is nothing impossible with me. It may be impossible with man, but with God there is nothing that is impossible. It's the same God who comes to us and commands us to pray, but not only just commands us to pray, but invites us to pray in a fellowship with him too. You know, to be honest with you, I've been dissatisfied with my prayer life. I'd like to be a better prayer person or prayer warrior. I like to be a person that has more power in my praying. I think it scares us, it scares me, when it doesn't surprise us that when we pray, nothing happens. Because the Bible says something different. And there's some type of mix-up or there's some type of key there. And so in my prayer life, I pray again and pray again, and I feel like, okay, it's hard to explain. But then I also think about what the Bible says. I think across America and across churches, we have a lot of good people. We've in this room, some of the best people I know in the world. But across America and across churches today, there is not much power in prayer. And tonight, we're going to look at four essential things for powerful praying. And I want you to encourage you tonight to be thinking about these things and to just ask yourself, do I have a powerful prayer life? Preacher asked this question one time, says, if there was one person that you could get a hold of, that you know that walks on praying ground and is close with God, a powerful prayer, you had a request and you could only tell one person about it to help you pray with it, who would it be? And would anybody ask you to be that person to pray because they know that you have God's ear? You say, Pastor, I know we all have God's ear. We all have God available to us. Even a lost person has God's ear available to him as they repent and ask Christ to save them. But as believers and children of God, we have God's power of prayer in our lives available to us. I know when I heard that preacher ask that question, a couple people came to my mind. I know that Gene Stevens, which is Cherith Otteson's dad, was my Sunday school teacher. I never heard a man pray like he prayed. And it wasn't for show. You could tell he was humble when he prayed. And it's like he actually believed he was standing before God. But that's what we're doing when we pray. We go into the throne room. We go into the presence of God. Some of us do it flippantly. Some of us do it half-heartedly. And once again, I'm not trying to be discouraging. I'm trying to encourage us in our Christian life and our prayer life. There's some essential things for powerful praying. And here when we look at these verses, we're looking at a man who got his prayers answered. And we'll start in verse number 16. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse number 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. And then this phrase we'll look at a little bit tonight. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions. I thought about that for a little while. You know, as individuals and as men and women, we have passions. We have things that we deal with. Every fear that we face, every uncertainty that we face, every temptation that we face. In similar ways, Elijah faced those same temptations. And I think what God is saying here when he says Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, but then he gives this comparison here. He dealt with the same things that we dealt with, but then he continues on by saying, and he prayed. And how does he pray? He says he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. I think that's pretty powerful. One man prayed, and it changed the weather for the whole universe. He said, well, it was just over that area. Okay, but it still changed the weather and patterns. We know that the storms move and storms come, but God said, not here, because one man prayed. And then it continues on, and he says in verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And when we look at this, and these are exciting things because it shows the power that's available to God's people. You say, Pastor, you mean if I prayed that the rain would stop? Well, see, the Bible talks about delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So as our heart gets connected to what God desires for our life, that's when those verses are answered, whatever you ask, you'll receive. It's because of the fact that our desires don't match up with God's desires many times that we don't get our prayers answered. I told my Sunday school class this morning, you know, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thy heart. I'm glad that God doesn't give me all the desires of my heart, because sometimes they're not the right things. Imagine some of the things you desired this past week, good and bad. You say, Pastor, you desired bad things? You didn't? I mean, just reality, the thought life and things like that, there are always sometimes that we fight against our flesh. We have a flesh that we deal with, and there's opportunities and there's things that come to mind that you want to desire, maybe wealth, maybe other things. And he said, aren't you glad God didn't give you those? And the answer is yes, because it wasn't what I needed. But when we learn to actually delight in God, he said he's going to give us the desires of our heart. Now, did Elijah come up with this idea about it not raining for 3.5 years? You know, God's the one that inspires us to pray and gives us hearts for certain things. Elijah, I'm sure God led Elijah. He was willing to be followed, but he prayed and God did it. So here's some things I think that's important. And I think that some people might say, well, prayer really isn't that valuable. It's not that important. Prayer is the most powerful thing available to us. And I can, with all my heart, say, I do not believe that you can be the man or woman or child that God wants you to be without having a prayer life. And I can even go a step farther without saying having a persistent, powerful prayer life. Because God desires to commune and fellowship with all of us. He commands us, pray without ceasing. So here's four things, and they're simple, they're easy to remember, and there may even been things that I've discussed and shared with you before, but I think it's important. Just like last week, we talked about being real and being sincere. And so when we come to this prayer life, we could go and we could try to amaze you and tell you stories and use illustrations and things like that and tell you about stories that maybe you never thought of or heard from the Bible or it's been a long time. But I think it's more important that we get back to some basic things when it comes to our prayer life. Because most of us would agree, we're probably dissatisfied with our prayer life. We want to hear from God more, and we want God to hear from us. First thing is, it says it here in verse number 17, Elias, a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. So the first point is, you have to pray. One of the essentials for a powerful prayer life, or that power in praying, is that you actually pray. You say, Pastor, that's too simple. No, that is critical, because that's a problem with a lot of us. We just don't pray. In James 4:2, just the chapter over, the Bible says at the end of the verse, ye have not because ye ask not. And that word ask in that verse is speaking of specificity, which means you're speaking specifically. I hate that word, specific. I mess up on that word all the time. It's that spot in my tongue that just doesn't work right. It's specific. But the reality is, when we pray, are we asking God specifically for certain things? Don't be the least surprised that you don't have what you ask for. I know sometimes it seems like if a kid asks his parents, if we would ask God the way a kid asks his parent for certain things. You ever have a kid ask for something and you say no, and it's like it's an invitation for him to ask again and ask again and ask again, and they're specific about it. This is what I want. No. And they don't hear no. They hear, hey, just ask me later, or Joe, ask mom, or go ask. They're continual with it. And if we truly want to have our prayers answered, I think it's important that we're specific about it. I think it's important, and one thing that I've worked on in the past and still have presently and still need to work on it, is a prayer list. If you're there and you're praying, you get up in the morning, and I think the Word of God helps me when I pray, gets my heart ready, and there's different routines I have. But a prayer list is important. Maybe if you didn't have a prayer list, maybe you're like me. For 10 or 15 minutes, you can pray and you can go and get on your knees or wherever you sit at or whatever you do and start praying to God. God, help my family, or help my wife and help my kids. And God, please help America. God, please help our church. You know, please help those that are in leadership. And we start praying, but we do not specifically ask for anything. We just generally just sit there and pray for things and just say this and that. But God wants us to be specific. What are we specifically asking for when it comes to our families? What are we specifically asking for when it comes to our church and when it comes to our missionaries? How are you specifically praying for your pastor? How are you specifically praying for this individual and that individual? I think God does not want us to speak in generality. If we really truly want to have power in prayer, He wants us to be specific. And as God specifically answers that prayer, you know what's going to be said? To God be the glory. What is on our prayer list for people? What is on our prayer list for our wife and our kids, for America, for our churches? You say, Pastor, that'd be hard to make. Be honest with you, if you began a generic prayer list and you just added one thing a day at the end of the year, you're going to have over 300 things. He says, well, is there 300 things to pray for? There sure is. There's a lot more than that. If you just went down your prayer list, if you went down the church roster, you'd be amazed how many people in your church family has problems. You go and you see that first name, Ackley's, on there. I think it's the Ackley's. Boy, they got problems. No. But they do have four kids. If you went and you prayed and asked, you know, Lord, you know, help the Ackley family. Help Joseph and Lillian, Naomi and Christiana. You know, if you even just took one family a day and you considered that what they're going through and ask God specifically to help them in their marriage and ask God specifically help those children as they get older and ask God, you say, Pastor, that would take time. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing anyway? We sing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, but I wonder how many of us have really ever spent an hour of prayer and time with God. You think about it. We sit and watch sometimes. Sometimes I know that many of you probably are not TV watchers, but I know that some people like to watch news shows, because I go to your house and I go visit you and their news is on there. And I've learned that if you watch 10 minutes of the news at the beginning, you're pretty much going to see everything they're going to say the whole hour. They just keep on saying the same thing over and over. But how many of us sat in front of the TV and watched them talk for an hour about our country, and we get upset and we want to throw something at the TV because of all the things we see going on and going wrong with our country? We'll do that, but how many of us have ever spent an hour praying for our country? And those are just thoughts and questions. You know, what's going to accomplish more, watching it and getting upset or actually praying for it? You say, well, how do you do that? You get a prayer list to pray for our country. Now, I'm obviously not saying that you need to pray for the country for an hour every day and your family for an hour every day and your church for an hour every day. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that a prayer list helps us stay focused. Because if we don't have that prayer list, we become very general. And we turn around and think, oh, there's nothing else to pray for, but there's so much that's needed. So, want to be powerful in our praying, we have to learn how to just pray. Are we going to believe in prayer and be comfortable with just not asking? Because if I went around the room, I think if I ask you if you thought prayer worked, the majority of people, if not all, would say, yes, you know, God says in his word, I believe it. But how come we're comfortable with not asking God? The first thing when it comes to power in praying, it should be that we have to pray. You can virtually change any and everything in your life through prayer. Wouldn't it be great if God would answer our prayers? The truth is, he wants to. Prayer is important. We are commanded to pray without ceasing. Even commanded in everything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer is, as I said, the most powerful thing in the universe for a Christian. When we get to heaven, I wonder if God's going to say, why didn't you just ask? Why didn't you ask for more? Why did you ask for such little things? God is willing to do more in our lives. But we need to be powerful in our prayers. And we have to learn how to actually ask. And I'm not preaching a wealth and prosperity gospel. I'm preaching about our hearts getting in tune with God and being faithful to pray. God, I believe, wants to bless us. God wants us to answer our prayers. It says Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. Second thing I want you to see is not only do you have to ask, the second thing is you have to ask earnestly. Earnestly. You say, what's earnestly? Well, we mentioned about the kids asking. Usually they'll say, please, you know, they'll be passionate about it. That word earnestly means with intensity, with focus, with diligence. It means that we get into our prayers. And that's what he says here, that he prayed earnestly. Look at the verse above it. We mentioned it earlier. The effectual, fervent prayer. Are we truly praying earnestly and fervently? When is the last time you got fervent and earnest with God? Now, people can fake us out. Don't get me wrong. You know, some people can sound really great when they pray, and they might fake the whole auditorium out, and they say, man, he's great at that. But you're not going to be able to fake God out. And if we truly, once again, I'm not talking about just having a normal prayer life like what most Christians would consider normal. I'm talking about having a powerful prayer life. We're going to have to pray earnestly. Spurgeon had said this many times, and it's even written on the walls of the church where he preached at. He said, he who prays without fervency does not pray at all. He who prays without fervency does not pray at all. And that, and you say, we need to get emotional and focus and diligence, intense about our prayers. Today was the first day of football season. I don't know if your football team won or not. We usually watch the game Sunday night after church, so don't tell me if you know if the Steelers won. But, you know, when I watch the game with my family, some of them get excited about the game. They yell, they holler, they throw things. They yell at the ref, then we have to calm my wife down, and the rest of us, no. She doesn't even watch some of the games. So they get intense. They're excited about it. You ever been to a high school basketball game? I got to watch some of the Christian schools basketball game. Man, some of those people are intense. They're yelling and they're cheering and they're doing this, they're doing that. And, you know, I think it's great. I think it's wonderful, except for when they start yelling at the refs or the other players. Of course, victory, none of the victory parents would do that. But there's intense there, and there's intensity. They're fervent about it. They're earnest. They want their team to win. They want their team to do well. How come we don't do that with God? How come we don't pray like that to God? He tells us here that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He tells us he prayed earnestly and God got... You know, when's the last time we prayed earnestly for anything? When's the last time your family heard you be earnest with God? Your husband or wife heard you be earnest with God? You might say, hey, I'm not good at being loud and I'm not good at those things. So, you know, you can still be earnest with God and do it in private. You can still be earnest with God and not even say a word out loud. I think about the story of Hannah. Hannah's there and the story, it talks about how she is speaking with her hearts and she's speaking in her heart. Her lips are moving. And it says that she was praying with such passion. Remember Eli, the high priest, what'd he do? He go over and he rebuked her. He said, what are you doing drunk this early in the morning? It wasn't the fact that drinking was wrong to him. It's just, that, why are you doing it so early for? And, you know, Hannah said, I'm not drunk. I'm just pouring out my soul to God. Listen to what the verse says. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, meaning that she didn't speak out loud. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. I read that verse and it's convicting because of the passion she had. But what also convicts me is that Eli's, he's the high priest. If anybody should have been at the temple, you know, begging and pleading with God and praying with earnestness and fervency about the wickedness that was happening in his nation, you would think it would be Eli, right? But you see this woman here that's sitting there praying. And Eli is so far from praying like that, he looks at that and says, there's something wrong with that woman. And I think we've come to the spot when someone is praying earnestly and someone's praying with passion, we look at them and we scoff, there's something wrong with that person. But in all reality, there's something wrong with us because we don't pray with passion. We don't pray with fervency. Once again, I'm not just talking about praying, you know, lay me down to sleep or, you know, praying just repetitive things. I'm talking about wanting to have power in our prayer life. And the way that's going to happen is, first of all, we have to learn to just pray. Do we pray? And I would never tell you to do this as a measurement for spirituality, but the next time you're doing your devotions and you get to your prayer time, take out a stopwatch and see how much time you really pray. You say, why would you do that? Because that could be a telltale sign to some of us. You know, I really don't spend as much time in prayer as I thought I did. So if we really want to have a powerful prayer life, number one, you have to ask. Secondly, you have to get earnest with it. The third thing is you have to get clean. You see what the Bible says here in verse number 16. He says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. You have to be clean. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, meaning that he's right with God. I heard a preacher put it this way. When's the last time you got clean with God? Not cleaner, clean with God. What's the difference? I've been to the altar tons of times to try to get cleaner with God. God speaks to my heart about something, and I'm working on that, and I come up. But when's the last time we truly got clean with God? With the Spirit, like it says in Psalms 139, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way. There are things that we like to work on. We know we want to work on because we want to change that in our lives. But that prayer is, Lord, see if there's any wicked way in me. Not just search what I'm asking you to search, but I want you to try me. I want you to know my thoughts. I want you to reveal. God knows what our thoughts are. He wants him to reveal his thoughts to us so we know what is wrong, so we can be clean, so our prayers can be answered. If we truly want to have a powerful prayer life, we're going to have to be clean, and we're going to have to get before God, and we're going to have to say, God, search me. Lord, I want to know what you think. I already know what I think. I already think that this is okay, and I already think this is okay, and I already think this is okay, and so-and-so told me this was just fine. But God, I want to know your opinion, because God, I need you to answer my prayers. I don't need so-and-so to answer my prayers. I think it was one time at when Brother Thurman was here. It was the first time I heard it when he said, if you truly want to get right with God, go home and get on your knees and put a circle around you and don't get out of that circle till you're right with him, completely right with him. And you say, how do you do that? If you, with an honest heart and a pure heart, go before him and say, God, I want to be clean. I want you to work on my heart, and Lord, start confessing sins. God will bring things to your hearts and minds that been gone for a long time that has broken our fellowship of God. D.L. Moody used to close his meetings. He says, don't leave this place unclean. He used to say it over and over. Don't leave this place. It was the last night of his meeting as an evangelist. Don't leave this place unclean. He says, we're not going to leave here till you get clean. We need clean church members if we truly want God's power on our life. We want prayer and power. We need clean church members. We need a clean pastor. If we truly want God to do something, and if we truly want God to answer our prayers, we need to be clean. On Saturday of October 7th, we're going to, it's Saturday night. Usually we don't have service on Bible conference night. We're going to have Saturday this one because we're not having any special meetings. Sometimes we have a choir conference or sometimes we have a ladies conference, but we're going to have just service that night. And at the end of service, we're going to have a prayer meeting. And it will be, you know, if people need to go or feel like they need to go, but it's just going to be praying for the next day, for friend day. It's not going to be super long, but it's not supposed to be for show. But it will not mean anything if we're not clean. You know, prayer meetings with dirty people or people who love their sin, they really are a waste of time. Curtis Hudson said, he says, I've only been part of two all-night prayer meetings. He says, I never go to them. He says, but there's two times in my life I spent the night praying. He says, both times is when I got my heart right with God. You know, do you want to live your life seeing what you can do? Or do you want to live your life seeing what God can do? Because prayer and power in prayer is what God can do with us. Us staying dirty and us not praying and us not being fervent in our prayers, we're going to see what we can do. And what we can accomplish, what we can build. And a lot of that stuff is going to be hay, wood, and stubble before the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know about you, but I want a better prayer life. And when I hear these things, they are convicting, but they're also necessary. We got to pray. You got to find a time somewhere, somehow. And I know for most people, it's earlier in the morning because as your day gets along, you're not going to have that opportunity or time to do it. It's going to have to be up before anybody else sometimes. You got to find that time to pray. And you got to do it fervently. You got to do it with a focus and a diligence. Because I know our prayer times can become very, very lax. That's what a prayer list helps you with. But you have to be clean. And the next thing I want you to see is you have to be persistent. The Bible says in verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the Lord gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I know most of you are familiar with the Bible. You hear the story here. He prayed, and it didn't rain. How many times did he have to pray? Just once. I love the story when he caught fire, from God down from heaven. That's an awesome story. You know how many times he had to pray to get fire from down from heaven? Just once. But when the rain was supposed to come back, you know what he had to do? He didn't just have to pray once. He didn't just pray twice or three times. He said he prayed 7 times. I wonder if he would have given up after the first time. Or given up after the second time. I wonder if it would have never ever rained in Israel. I don't think that would have happened. I think God knew he was going to continue on praying, but he wanted to teach Elijah something. Elijah was going to face the greatest battle he had ever faced. He was going to come across discouragement and disappointment to the point where he was going to say, just end it. But God wanted to remind him something. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. It says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 43 and 44, it says, and it said to a servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. You know, we looked at that and we thought, well, we thought Elijah only had to say one prayer to get our prayers answered. But we see in this story, it was multiple times. I've heard stories of people that prayed for individuals for years upon years to be saved. And after 30 or 40 years, they came to know Christ. By God's grace, we should make sure that we don't stop asking. We're in the book of Luke on Sunday mornings, and just a little while we're going to get, I think it's to Luke chapter number 11, and there's that guy who comes to his friend's house, I think at midnight, knocking on the door, asking for bread. Don't come to my house at midnight asking for bread. if you need something, people call and that's fine. But if you just need bread, you know, go somewhere else. But he's coming and he's asking for bread. And the guy's like, I'm in bed. We're all in bed. And he keeps on, says, no, I need you. I need you. Please get up. And it's not because the guy wants to do it. He gets up because of the importunity. And Jesus uses that as an example. That's how I want you to pray to my Father. And you think about a widow lady that went to the unjust judge and kept on pleading her case. And the judge says, I don't want to hear it. But she kept on and 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 kept on. And then the unjust judge, she says, I don't fear God or man, but because you're annoying me, I'm going to give you your answer. I'm going to grant your wish. I know that's not in the exact way, but it gives that idea. And Jesus says, that's the way you're supposed to pray to God. You're supposed to keep on going at it. Sort of like that child that says, Mom, can I have this? No. And all they hear is, ask again. Mom, can I? No, ask again. You know, so that's not, you know, think about it. There's even that verse that talks about how God gives us better than our father, than our earthly fathers does. God is better than our earthly fathers. And how much more he would give you the Holy Spirit if you just asked. So do we want to have a powerful prayer life? First, you got to pray. Secondly, you have to ask earnestly. Thirdly, you have to get clean. Fourthly, you have to be persistent. Do you really want to be that person that can get a hold of God? I do. I know if I had a special need in my life, there's a few people in my life that I would call up and say, hey, can you pray with me about this? Mr. Stevens would be one of those guys. If it was a very serious need, I was going through something, there's close friends that I know that are on praying ground and would say, can you pray for me with this? Don't you want to be that person? That someone knows that you got God's ear and that you can talk to God and you can get your prayers answered, that you can be a blessing to others. It's not mythical. It's not magical. God loves you and he wants to bless you and he wants to answer your prayers. But we have to line up our heart's desires with God's desires for us. Because prayer is not getting our will done in heaven. Prayer is getting God's will done on earth. And we have to think it's serious enough to ask him for. And just not ask, but to do it with a passion and an intensity and a diligence. And do it earnestly and fervently. And be willing to say, I'm willing to get clean because I need my prayers answered. And be persistent. By faith, believe that God will answer your prayers. And continue to believe and continue to ask. As I said, one of the things that is probably true in our country and true in our churches, a lot of good people, they know God. They try to live holy lives, but they're just not powerful in prayer. Why is that? Sometimes it's because we don't ask. Sometimes it's because we don't ask with a passion, or it really doesn't matter to us. We're going to be okay with God not answering our prayers. Sometimes it's because there's a sin we want to hold on to more than we want to have our prayers answered. And sometimes I think it's because we give up. I want to encourage you tonight. Make sure that you have a right relationship with God. First, make sure you're a Christian. Make sure you're saved and on your way to heaven, because the first prayer God's going to want to hear from you is, I need you, please save me. But after that, don't we want our prayers answered? Don't we want to see God work? I know I do. And when we look about prayer, let's be honest. Let's be real. Try to be sincere with you tonight. Like we talked about last week, you know, go ahead and take off the mask. Be real with yourself and be real with God. And if your prayer life is not what it's supposed to be, then look at these four things. See if there's something there that can help you. I know all four of those things are things that I've dealt with before in the past. But I want to be able to get a hold of God. I want to be, as some people say, a prayer warrior. It is the most powerful thing available to a Christian today. It moves the hand of God. Are we taking advantage of it? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.